Gentlemen, I think we should start with our meeting. My greetings to all members again and to the Department of Social Development. We unfortunately we paid on your behalf before you came in the morning. And we're not going to do it again. But we did. This is our second meeting as a committee. So we're not going to do it again. We are meeting the department to brief us on the strategy or APP for this financial year as well as the budget. I received two apologies, honorable members. An apology from the minister. I was under the impression that he's coming. Only now we received an apology. And an apology from the DM, the deputy minister. They are both committed. They will not be part of this meeting. I'm not going to open it, all the members. Except to allow the department, they must be knowing us by now, to allow the department, because I see new faces, to introduce themselves. Yeah, I don't know who's leading the delegation from the department.
I do, Honorable Chair. My name is Thokozani Magwaza, I'm the Acting Director General for the department. And I have been an acting director general now for the year. I know you're not sound right, but it is exactly just like that. Maybe through you, honorable chair, honorable members, I'll request the delegation that I'm with to introduce themselves. But for starters, I'd like to introduce Ms. Lumka Olifan. She is our new acting DDG for strategy. So she'll be leading us on the presentation. After that, then we have the CFO on the budgetary matters. Yeah. So.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. As the DG has said, and the members of the committee, as the DG has said, my name is Lumka Olifant, and I'm acting the DG for strategy. I will just take you through to the presentation of our APP.
So sorry. Allow other members to Lumka, am I mistaken? Were you not in communication? Okay, let's proceed with introduction.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Clifford Apple. I'm the CEO.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. I'm Connie Ngumalo. I'm the DDG responsible for welfare services.
Good afternoon. The name is Wiseman Marcella. I'm responsible for research and policy development in the department.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Mzolisi Toni. I'm the DDG responsible for rights of persons with disability.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Austin Masilena, responsible for executive support and intergovernmental relations, the teachers office.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Opa Ramachila. I'm the acting DDG for corporate services.
Good afternoon, chairperson and members. My name is Virginia Peterson, the CEO of SASA.
Good afternoon, Jefferson and the honorable members. My name is Peter Nechipare, the DDG responsible for community development in the department. Thank you.
You know all the members. It's a concern. Not above the minister and the deputy minister, above the acting DG.
acting DG. When are you appointing the DG? The acting now DDGs, what's going on in the department before we get to the presentation? We can't have a department like that. You want to add Honorable Sambos over?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm echoing my presence at the Benega to Honorable Goku, because I'm looking at a woman acting as if we are doing drama in the generation. The acting must end. The time frame for the acting DG, they must end. We must see people in permanent, because this brings exploitation in terms of her work. So Mother acted for some time. That's why Mom's song is such a time frame. I'm echoing her. Please.
I don't know when I'm asking the wrong person, because you're also acting DG. In the absence of both the minister and the deputy minister, I did not want to get into that, because you know how zone is that. We can't. You see, it makes it even worse when both political heads are not here and we have acting people. I don't think we're taking this committee serious. When are you appointing the DG? Why are we not appointing?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. I wouldn't answer on why are we not appointing. I'll just talk about the process that is being engaged as it is right now. I know for a fact that the interviews are going to happen before the end of this month. That is for the NTA CEO, the DG, and because the CEO is retiring next month, and there will be an interviews for the CEO for SASSA. So that we did discuss with the minister, because we raised the same concern on the issue that we can't be having everybody in the department acting, because when the DG is acting, means that you have taken from one of the divisions. So then there's a space on the other side, and somebody else is acting on that other side. And again, on the issue of NTA, the DDG responsible for strategy, Ms. Nelly Vilagas, is the one that is an acting CEO on the other side. Hence, we've got Ms. Linda Oliphant acting on this other side. But if then the interviews are finalized this coming 2 weeks, then it means that Ms. Nelly Vilagas comes back, then there will be no acting on the strategy. Then on the TTG side, when the TTG, whether he or she is appointed, then there will be no acting on this other side and on the side of the SASSA side. SASSA might be the best one, because the CEO gave us a longer notice for her to start preparing for her replacement.
Okay. Under normal circumstances, we're supposed to turn you back. But we're not going to do that, given the time constraint we have. So, but it doesn't all go well. Let me take your word. Remember, 2 weeks' time, it means that when we go to the house to present your budget, you'll be having permanent people. That is what I'm underlining as you speak. I am hoping so. I'm just underlining that. I know that, especially the DG, I don't know whether, I'm not sure about the CEO, still has to go to cabinet. All of them. But just to tell the minister that if next time when we meet you and are still acting people, she must make sure that it's herself or the deputy minister is here. It doesn't reflect well on the department. I know the challenges, but it doesn't reflect well. Okay, I do want to pass this comment before we start, that our challenge is that it's not your fault, no, the fault of the committee, that our planning and our reporting are not speaking to each other. Ideally, it could have been good to first see the report. How far have you gone in terms of the implementation of the planned objectives in the last financial year, so that the committee were clear that, okay, you have not achieved this, or these were things just for that financial year. As we move forward, what are the things that you are carrying forward from the previous financial year? But unfortunately, our system does not allow that. You plan over a plan that you don't know how far it was implemented. I think maybe in the future it's something that we should look at, and how best we align that so that you know there is a continuity in terms of our planning and our implementation. I will then send over to you, Acting DG, but just to remind you again that what you are presenting today is what we're going to be doing oversight on, nothing else. We're not going to bring things from outside, from the media, from our experiences. No, we will be doing oversight or monitoring on what you are presenting to us. I always say to departments, it shouldn't be a problem, because these are the things that you took time as a department and said these are going to be able to implement with the budget allocated to a department. But sometimes it becomes a big problem for departments when they report. You know, most Jefferson, we did not have enough capacity and the money, this, and we had to get this. But when you plan, you knew about those things. That's my take. But when you finally come to the committee and say, committee, this is what we're going to do, you must have looked at everything that will enable you to implement your plan. So I'm under that impression that you must have looked into all those things that will enable you to implement the plan that you're going to present to us. It shouldn't be an excuse tomorrow, because nobody said present this. It's from you. I will then hand over to you to lead us and hand over to the person who will take us through the strategy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Indeed, it gives us a great honor today to be presenting to you our annual plans for your scrutiny, perusal, and approval. We take our cue from the National Development Plan Vision 2030 that points out to the deep-seated structural causes of poverty and inequality in our economy and the society at large. This enjoins us all together to continuously find better and sustainable ways of extricating our most vulnerable out of clutches of poverty. To this end, Chairperson and Honourable Members, the Department of Social Development is committed over the medium-term strategy framework 2014 to 2019 to focus on the following outcomes. I'm trying to summarize them. She's going to elaborate on them. We are looking at the reformed social work sector that is able to deliver effective and equitable services. Family is the main thrust that we're looking at. We say that it's a strategic anchor in this regard, and we'd like to strengthen it in our endeavor to tackle social ills, bedeviling our communities and society at large. We are going to be increasing the access to quality ECT programs for children aged 0 to 4 and ensure adequate universal access to grade R. We have done the research and looked at the practice that has shown that provision of ECD to children guarantees a successful development trajectory to adulthood. The third one that we are going to be looking at is the strengthening of communities to be self-reliant. We believe that central to a developmental state, communities, it is the communities that drive their own development in a sustainable way. And we are going to be looking at the social assistance and through social security. We are saying that we'll be deepening social assistance and expanding access to social security. And we'll have a better coordination, integration, planning, monitoring, and evaluation of social protection services. Our work as a department is anchored by our coordination of our outcome-driven and inclusive and responsive social protection that is led by our minister. This presentation, honorable members, will talk in detail in 5 points above, and that are central to our plans. I'll request then Ms. Lumka Olifant to take us through, honorable chair.
Thank you, DG, and afternoon, honorable chairperson and the members. As the DG has elaborated, that you have five priorities, namely reforming the social welfare sector and services to deliver better results, improve the provision of ECD to all children, deepening the social assistance and extending the scope for social security, strengthening integrated community development interventions and improving household food and nutrition, and also to establish social protection systems to strengthen, coordinate, and integrate planning and monitoring and evaluation of our services. As the DG has also said, that we are looking at a strategic plan from 2015 to 2020, and we are going to look at each of our performances. The department has 5 branches. One of them is welfare services. As we have said, that we want to reform the social welfare sector and services to deliver better results. Our high-level output is that we want to review the social welfare white paper, our norms and standards as well. We are also saying that we want to have 100% buses absorbed into the sector after completion of the studies by 2019. We want to review the dispensation of state civil society partnership in the delivery of social welfare services and community development services. We also are saying that we want to legislate the professionalization of the regulations of social service practitioners and also amend the Older Persons Act of 2006. Moving also to welfare services of social crime prevention and victim empowerment, we want to do the legislation on victim empowerment support services, implement the South African integrated program of action on gender-based violence, and also implement the victim empowerment intersectoral strategy 2014 to 2018, strengthen our care and support services to families, and implementation of the integrated social crime prevention and strategy action plan, also the implementation of the Child Justice Act, the National Anti-Substance Abuse Program of Action, and also the implementation of the Prevention and Treatment of Substance Abuse Act No. 70 of 2008, and also our National Drug Master Plan. Moving to rights of persons with disabilities, we want to do legislative framework to protect and promote the rights of persons with disabilities. Last year, we held a summit where we also said that we want them to implement our policy on the rights of people with disabilities. Also, policy on the social welfare services to persons with disabilities and develop an implementation support. Also, our disability inequality index developed and also tracked. Our services to children, we had said that we are going to focus on ECD. We have a policy on ECD in place, and which was
approved by cabinet last year. So we want to start with the implementation of the ECD policy, as well as our infrastructure plan for our cities, ECDs. We want to register 90% of ECD facilities that comply with norms and standards, and also integrate a human resource plan that has been developed. Comprehensive package of services for our children in our ECDs, and also aligning with municipal bylaws and provisional legislation, so that we can increase access to child care and protection through adoption services, implementation of the foster care project plan, implementation of the guidelines of the registration of drop-in centers in terms of the Children Act. We also are promising to review our Children's Act and strengthen services to our orphaned and vulnerable children. On the social assistance and social security, as we have said that we want to deepen the social assistance and also extend the scope of social security. In that regard, we're saying that 50% increase in the CSG value and also up to 11.4 million children who are qualified to access the grant by 2016-17. Social relief and disaster relief reaching affected individuals in distress timelessly. We also want to do policy proposals on the universalization of the older persons grant and also the CSG. Policy on chronic conditions to expand social assistance coverage for persons with disabilities. Policy on income support for working age individuals, and also guarantee employment scheme. We also want to do a policy on mandatory cover for retirement, disability, and survivor benefits. This speaks also to our social security reform. Community development. We want to do community development policy framework and enhance skills competences of our CGPs and CBOs, so that you can facilitate effective community development. Maybe I should also just try and make sure we go to the year itself, 2016-2017, if that is fine with you. Yeah. Program one, which is administration. We have said our output is effective function of the social protection and community and human development cluster. What we want to do is 100% monitoring of the reporting of the cluster decisions, facilitate DSD participation in specific events in international events for DSD participation. Also, construct 18 community care centers, review of 4 policies for gender responsiveness, conduct of the implementation evaluation of the Older Persons Act, and also conduct a design evaluation of food and nutrition as security programs. Continuing on our program one for communication, we've said in marketing and advertising, we've said that we want to make sure that we increase our following on our social media space, and also we increase minister and deputy ministers that have participation programs up to 24. We are saying as well that we want to make sure that we audit 28 risk-based projects, and also sector human resource plan approved by MINMED, reduce our vacancy rate to 6%, and also integrate child protection register, community profile, household profile, and our GBV command center. Program two, which is also social social assistance, we want to make sure that we increase the
social grant for eligible individuals. We have also just made sure that we highlight according to each of the grants. The old age grant, we have a target of 3.3 million for the next year in the increase of that grant. Child support grant, also 12.3 million. War veterans, 162,000. Disability up to 1 million. Care dependency, 147,000. Foster care to 460,000. And also granting aid. We are also saying that for the social relief distress, we want to award about 400,000 as SRD applications in the next financial year. Program 2, which is social security policy, we say that we want to provide an effective and accessible social assistance appeal service. We want to universalize the older persons grant and the CSG grant. We want to expand the CSG to orphaned and vulnerable children, also dual retirement, disability, and survivor benefits. So to this end, we are saying that 70% of our appeals must be done within 90 days of receipt. 100% of appeals received from SASTA with complete records must be adjudicated within 90 days of receipt. We want to complete the policy on the universalization benefits for older persons, and also the discussion paper will need to be finalized for the universalization of the child support grant. Our social development amendment bill must be submitted also to cabinet when it comes to the expansion of the CSG. We say that as well, we need to have to develop the technical report on mandatory cover for retirement, disability, and survivor benefits, and also approved our framework for investigation. Program 4, which is welfare services, as DJ has alluded when he spoke, that we want to make sure that we review our white paper on social welfare. We want to do a demand and supply model for social service professionals. Our social program, our scholarship program for social workers must be implemented. Legislation for the professionalization of the social service practitioners, amend the Older Persons Act of 2006, and also strengthen older persons services. We will revise then the white paper on social welfare, develop the demand and supply model for social service practitioners. We want to say, we say that we want to make sure that those that are awarded our youth scholarship, we say that 1,000 youth with social service scholarship. Consultations on the draft bill, services practitioners bill, and for the Older Persons Act, we are aiming for the approval of the amendment bill by cabinet. And then the coordination and the implementation of the national HFH program for older persons that we usually do every year for older persons. Continuing on program 4, we spoke about ECD earlier. We want to align the ECD program of action to the ECD policy that was approved by cabinet last year. Review the infrastructure plan of the ECD of our ECDs. Register 100% of adoptions received from the Children's Court with a complete record. Develop of the sustainability plan of ECB in the model. Then complete the midterm review of ECB in the model. Develop a progressive framework on foster care and conduct 9 intersectoral capacity building workshops on children's rights and responsibilities. We have also been amending the Children's Act, so we want to do the second amendment of the Children's Act so that it can be considered by the Portfolio Committee and into the OP Select Committee, develop the child care and protection policy. We need is to, as regards to the implementation of the Child Justice Act, the policy framework on accreditation of diversion of services must also be done. We'll establish 5 provincial multidisciplinary committees on integrated social protection, social crime prevention, finalization of the consultation bill on the, to submit to the state law advisors for certification, increase the number of people accessing our command center by 5%. You will know that we have a gender-based violence command center, so we want to increase the access of the command center to 2,993 people. We are also responsible for the Act on Trafficking in Persons. So we're saying that we need to conduct our awareness campaigns on human trafficking, develop operating policy for the Social Sector Academy, approve the strategy on families facing imminent risk of removal of a family member, training 4 provinces on the National Preventing Program. We are also implementing our substance abuse campaign, and we're saying that at least we need to do 3 campaigns on anti-alcohol and anti-substance abuse campaign. Capacitate 9 provinces to establish community-based care centers and also review the National Drug Master Plan. As we can see that program 4 is quite huge and it's worth the services. We want to train 300 organizations on psychosocial support programs, also 400 CEOs on community-based interventions, monitoring systems, and train 5 implementers on social behavior change, update our draft policy on disability within the welfare services, develop national strategic framework support, also develop our disability rights information portal phase, and also conduct a pilot project for the implementation of such, and then update our disability inequality index. Under program 4 also are also issues of youth. Every year we have our national youth camp, so we want to increase to 1,000 our youth that attend the youth camp. Draft a social development youth strategy and develop a framework for linkage of cooperative economic opportunities within our sector, and also develop a framework for women empowerment for the social sector. Program 5, which is our social policy and integrated service delivery, we have said that we want to research and do research and social policy capacity built through training on social policy in the social development sector. In that regard, we want to train 50 officials, develop and review 1 social policy in collaboration with the relevant directorates. We also said that we would create 152,253 work opportunities through our EPWP social sector program. We also want to have provided CWP sites within the social work sector, 450 military veteran households participating in our EPWP project, and also for the population policy, we want to have the 4th UNFPA country program coordinated and evaluated through our NCF. We also say that to coordinate and monitor the INC for population policy work plan, which is 2016 to 2019. You know that there is an INC of population policy that has been formed and led by our minister. We also say that we want to place 15 population studies graduates, process about 99% of applications within 2 months of receipt, conduct NCO ratios in 80 local municipalities. 3
ourselves and emerging NPOs should be trained on governance and compliance with the NPO Act. Maybe some context to that is that we have been having problems with our NPOs in terms of registration following the NPO Act. So in that regard, we say we'll have roadshows and also train 3,000 of them. We want to develop draft DFDA sector financial policy, finalize partnership model for state NPOs and other relevant stakeholders, and also introduce the draft bill on the NPO Act in Parliament, and also assess community development capability against norms and standards. Also, we want to, our high-level output is we want to do guidelines on community mobilization and empowerment of developed of our communities. So we will develop community mobilization empowerment guidelines and also reach 450 of wards reached through community outreach program. Develop a framework for linking cooperatives to economic opportunities within our sector, and also develop a framework for women empowerment for the social sector, facilitate the implementation of our integrated food and nutrition security plan, while we provide 60,000 vulnerable individuals through our CNDCs. I'll let the CFO to talk to our budget.
Jefferson and members of the committee. With regards to our budget for this year, just try to give in summary of the our MTF period. Just an indication in the middle of the yellows that our budget has been reduced to 397 million for the MTF, mainly around the issues around social assistance. And then also our compensation budget. So Jefferson, just an indication that we will struggle to fill posts. Some of those vacancies might not have funding going forward. But then also, just in terms of the increase of our budget over the MTF, I think we receive an increase adjustment in the middle of 812 million over the MTF. And that's mainly around the ECD, and also for the completion of the substance abuse treatment centers. That's mainly the operations cost of the substance abuse treatment centers, which is coming in 17-18. In terms of our budget funding request for the MTF period, we submitted six requests for additional funding around the absorption of social workers, substance abuse, maintenance, and the infrastructure, the ECD maintenance and expansion of ECD services, and also social grants. We've not been successful with regards to anything with regards to the absorption of additional social workers into the sector. However, we did receive, in the substance abuse, as I mentioned earlier, 866 million, and then 812 for the ECD. Our E&E baseline then over the MTF will increase on average by 7.9%, with 1,748 billion growing to 174.8 billion in 18-19. In terms of the allocation program, we see the increase of 8.34% average over the MTF, mainly driven around the substance abuse, as I indicated earlier, and the ECD treatment centers, and that you can see in the program 4 area. Chairperson, also important with regards to the budget of the department. Although our budget is 148 billion, the operational of the 148 billion, only 0.5% is operations cost to the department. 99.5% is transfers for the social grants, operations cost for SASA and for the NDA. We list the major transfers, and we can see 140 billion goes towards social assistance grants, and it grows to 164 billion in the 18-19 financial year. Also, the other listed are the operations costs of SASA NDA, social work scholarships, the current bursary scheme that we have in partnership with SASA, transfers to HIV organizations, national councils, and the ECD contract conditional grant, and then lastly, food relief. With regards to the sub-programs, administration, average increase over the MTF of 5.75%, starting with 322 million in 16-17, growing to 351 million in 18-19. Breakdown of program one, mainly ministry, the management, corporate management, finance, internal audit. And we see internal audit in this regard, biggest increase in terms of budget versus the prior year, and that's mainly around filling of the chief audit executive and the other, making the other post permanent in that regard. In terms of the economic classification for administration, we can see there's a negative growth in terms of goods and services, and that's the budget cut that's coming through, and then also in terms of capital. Social assistance is mainly the grants in Program 2, as I mentioned, 140 billion in 2016-17 and growing to 164 billion in 2018-19. And that's the breakdown of the grants over the MTF period. Biggest increase grant in 8 is 82.7 versus 15-16. With regards to Program 3, Social Security and Administration, we see an average increase of the operations budget 5.85%, 7 billion in 16-17, and it's mainly the SASA administration operations cost to 7.9 billion in 18-19. The rest of the sub programs is the social security policy development, fields education, social grant fraud investigation, and the program management. With regards to Program 4, the welfare services, we see an increase of 25.85% on average, and it's mainly around the ECD funding that we receive and the substance abuse treatments and the operations cost that's basically in this program, and we see the huge increase in going from 16-17 from 723 million to 1.2 billion out here. Again, the impact in the outer years on compensation, you can see in this program particularly 1.15% in the 17-18 financial year and 2.86% increase. So this program will be majorly affected because it's one of the key programs in the department. Program 5, we see an increase of 4.82%, going from 377 million in 16-17 to 414 million in 2018-19. the goods and services budget, and also you can see the compensation usually affected in 17, 18 and 18, 19 due to the budget cuts. There's a huge increase in non-profit organizations around the additional funding for HIV/AIDS that we received from the National Treasury for HIV programs. Thank you very much, Chairperson, members.
Thank you so much, Chair. This is our annual plan. If the Chair allows me to introduce the Special Advisor to the Minister, Mr. Sipho Shivers, just join us.
You can do so.
I have just introduced him, the Special Advisor to the Minister. I was doing that in case the Chairperson refuses. And then thank you so much, Chair.
Okay, no, thank you very much for the presentation from the department. Members, see the presentation has said earlier that this is one of the most important presentations by the department, because it's what they are going to do in this financial year and is what we're going to measure them on later when they come and report. Any engagement from the honourable members, honourable Paula?
Thanks, Mr. Mukwala in the department, colleagues. I am going to begin on the monitoring and evaluation of the services that the department has talked about, making reference of your offices in Mbangeni, where 19 million rand was reported to have been defrauded through the approval of more than 1,300 fraudulent applications. Now, I just wanted you to talk about that with reference to your monitoring and evaluation programs. How effective are they? To the extent that the whole office had to be shut down. Now, how wide and how big is the extent of the problem in the country with reference to just that small incident in Mbangeni? The ECD programs that you are talking about, I hope we begin to see some progress. Every year, I hope this time around we begin to see progress. We have been reporting on this one, but there has been no action. Can we begin to see some action? And I have noticed that your budget has some funds for this, and I do hope that we are going to begin to see something happening on the ground. The review of the white paper that you are talking about, the under program for welfare services, the capacity of provinces and other stakeholders. I just want to understand this one, because the services were taken away from the provinces to SASA, and now I don't understand this one. That's why I just seek clarity here, Chairperson. When you say build capacity of provinces, for what? Because my understanding is that you took away the services to disperse funds from provinces, you gave them to SASA. Now the white paper is talking about capacitating provinces again to implement the white paper. Just want to understand those services or not services. There is somewhere where you are talking about. Let me go back there. Where you are talking about a 50% increase in the CSG child support grant value and 11.4 million children who qualify, million children who qualify maybe for access to the grant by 2016-17. It says 11.4 million children and talks about the 50% increase of the grant. It is confusing a little bit. Can you, Bob Makwaza, can explain that one for me? What do you mean when you talk about the 50% increase of the CSG value and the 11.4 million children who qualify for the grant? Because on the other page where you are listing the recipients of the grant, for 16-17, CSG is totaling 12,348,000. But on this other slide, you talk about 11.4 million. Now, these numbers to me are very confusing. What do you mean on that objective when you talk about 11.4, when the numbers you are giving us on program 2 social assistance are 12,348,000? If you can just explain those two, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. To the CFO, as you were outlining your budget allocations, I haven't heard you, and I'm subject to correction, and my answer to this, I just need a yes or no. Is there any budget allocation for food parcels during election? Yes or no? Because I know with this department we will be getting food parcels dropped, and I always wonder where is the money coming from. Is there any budget allocation for this? Because when you presented the budget, there was none. Oh, through you, Chairperson. That's my first one. Also to you, CEO, the disaster protection on the abuse of the elderly. And I had posed this question when you had the SASA presentation with your CEO at the hotel. The ongoing abuse of the elderly in terms of their SASA grants, illegal deductions without their concern on funeral policy, having not been consulted, which is in contrary with their right to privacy. And I see there is some money that's allocated for the crime that's happening, and I want to know how much have you spent in protecting the elderly in this regard, responding to such illegal deductions on funeral plans, on airtime, by the whole thing that's happening with the elderly and the abuse on the SASA grant, whether it's going to be the CEO. I know there is something, you know about it, you're working on it, but I want to know how much have you allocated to protect them, and how are you dealing with this on the elderly? Coming to the children, I'm quite happy with the ECD responses that you have outlined, but I would like to know also that are your efforts in collaboration with the Department of Basic Education? Are you working together with the Department of Education in your responses in what you are doing? Because you tend to do things on your own and not putting the Department of Education where they deal with children, and we get these children who come from these social ills
at the schools and they deal with social workers, and the damage control is only received after 6 months because the Department of Education work with social workers after 6 months when the damage has long been done. It's not picked up from an early stage or from infancy. So in your responses to this, what are your efforts together with DBE in combating and trying to restructure the future of this South African child? I think for now, Jefferson. I see in page 13 of your presentation, Jefferson, are those chickens from Canada?
No, thank you very much, honourable members. I want to plead with members. This is a very serious meeting, and we've been doing very well as a committee, not trying to politicize issues of development, because once we get there, we will be tempted to respond from our side, which is not what is supposed to be happening here. No, I'm referring to Honorable Pambo Bogwan. Let's not go to politics. It also goes to the other question that was raised about food parcels for election. If we could just refrain from those questions and focus on issues of service delivery. From my side, on the ECD, let me first welcome and appreciate the presentation from the department. On the ECD, let me appreciate the program that the department is coming up now. For me, I do see the change and the progress. In the past, we were talking about the subsidy that we are giving, but now we're talking infrastructure that we're going to build, which was not there before. Want to appreciate that, because that was our issue before, that if you subsidize these entities that we don't have control over them, it will not make us get to where we want to get to as a country in terms of investing in our young people. You can't complain when children are at matric and say the base was not good. That is where we have to invest much. I want to appreciate, even though it's not enough, but for me, it's a good start. We really appreciate it. It means that things that we discuss and the inputs that we make are taken into consideration by the department when it comes to planning. On the youth camps, 1,000, I was trying to calculate of the 9 provinces, plus minus 100. It's a drop in the ocean. It's an important program. Very important. CFO, if possible, let's increase in this one. I will relate it with the issue of drugs, because for me, this program has to contribute in trying to build our young people. If it could be done, I would still mind even if the 1,000 was for a province. But if it is 1,000 at national level, it's really a drop in the ocean. Why don't we do it at provincial level? For a start, we have 1,000 in each province. We have those youth camps. I think they are important because we've got to invest in our young people. If you are to adjust before we do the final presentation to the House, one would really appreciate. I know you're talking about money, but we're talking about the investment of our young people. See how best you can assist. The program for military veterans, also for me a good program. Not them per se. The way I understand it, members of their families. Also a good program, one really appreciates, but also this program as well, I was calculating plus minus 50 per province.
How many are they? What informs this number? Why do we come? Have we done our calculations that how many people are we talking about? It's a good program. It needs to be strengthened. Maybe increase the number. See where you can reduce in terms of your budget. My biggest problem is on the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. We are not doing well at all there as a department. If we are to say the country, there is a time bomb that we are facing, is the impact of drugs and substance abuse in the country. One really would have expected a fully fledged program on this area. We are heading into something that we will not be able to control as a country. It may be late for now to come up with something, but please take this one very serious. We are not seen, we're not visible. I don't know whether maybe we don't communicate much on what we're doing, but what I see in terms of the plan is not enough. It's not enough. Let's try to strengthen in this area. In terms of the absorption of social workers schools that were given bursary by the department, I'm also not sure. I know that you're not reporting. This is planning, because I think we need to differentiate between planning, you know, to ask you questions that are related to reporting. I'm not sure if with the target that we have now, we'll be able to put this matter into closure. And there was one area issued from the report of the Auditor General, CFO, irregular expenditure. Have we strengthened our system? They are talking about the accounting officer who did not put in place system to ensure that irregular expenditure is not happening in the department. Have we strengthened our systems as a department so that it doesn't happen again? It relates to what Honorable Kaula, I think question that was saying that because the other part is more on the reporting, but I think it was saying to what extent have we strengthened our system to make sure that these things are not happening. Those are the issues from my side. You may respond. Okay, let me take one of the numbers for one and then I'll come to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In response to the illegal deductions that I had posed earlier on the elderly, I would like to, if you could give the details of the communication strategies that you will be introducing, and from these illegal deductions, when will it be launched, how will it work, and how will it assist the elderly or the senior citizens of our country? Thank you.
Two things. Firstly, the drug master plan. Now, I am of the opinion that there's not a lot happening at provincial level on the drug master plan. I would like to know when can we see the drug master plan ready and implemented in 9 provinces. Drugs is a major problem in this country. And secondly, and I heard what you said about politicizing certain events, but I have to ask the question. And to ask the question about the distribution of so-called vanity packs and food parcels, even on some days, from the department through SASA in a cavalcade of a political party from a political party's premises, certainly one can ask questions about that. And even if there's a list circulated listing 7 provinces with 14 towns, by-election towns, and then the focus, even on Sundays, is only on the registration weekends and in those by-election wards. I was there. I'm a witness. I've got photos. And then the response of the minister was, no, it's only incidents that had happened in those by election wards, they will come back for the other wards later. And later when they came back for the, when the by-elections results were set aside, they went back to the same wards, even on Saturdays and Sundays, and I presume overtime being paid. How does this abuse of state funds get regulated and controlled in the department and in SASA? It's happening, it's evidence, there's documentation, there are denials, but everybody out there knows it's happening. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think that one you can apply, you can respond. Food parcels distributed in a political party premises. I say that one you can respond to that. Can we have responses?
Thank you so much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you for the comments and thank you for the questions. We've got several questions and we will share the platform with the responsible DDGs. And the CEO of SASA is here for those questions that pertains to issues around SASA, and the special advisor will chip in on the other political issues that maybe the minister would have answered on this. But maybe let's start with the issue, which is, I think, the issue of food parcels. I wouldn't know whether the food parcels would be the same as what we have, which is social reporting stress, which is FRDs. If it's the same thing, then we can answer. On the slide right now, we do have the budget that is there, the budget on the social reporting stress. And how it works, I think the CEO is here, she's going to elaborate on it herself. How it works on our side as a department is that the government identified 1,300 wards that are taken as a poverty wards. So we have social report distress that is distributed amongst those areas mostly, and those are the wards that have been identified. And the CEO, I think, would be the best person to elaborate on this, because mostly the FRD, we have shifted from the DFD and just shifted to SASA, because we're dealing with the disaster on DFD, but it was moved over. CEO?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to say that because one cannot really plan for unforeseen circumstances in communities, on average per annum, we say that we will receive approximately 400,000. Now, if I look at my stats as at the end of February this year, 337,000 applications have been received for SRD. Now, the social relief of distress spans three different categories. It spans, obviously, cash, food parcels, and school uniforms. If you look at the breakdown across provinces, the province that has received and is linked to, obviously, poverty and poverty wards, 61,000 applications were received from the Eastern Cape, 7,000 from the Free State, 59,000 for Gauteng, because what we found was Gauteng has less grants in payments, but you seem to have more people coming to the periphery of the cities to look for work, and therefore we have that number of applications for housing and also the population size. In KZN, we only have 17,000 applications for SRD despite its population size, but then it has a higher grant number. Limpopo was 54,000. Mpumalanga was 30,000, Northern Cape was 31,000, North West was 46,000, Western Cape was 28,000, and that's largely driven by the fires or the floods per annum. So if you look at SRD, an application has to be taken. Now, SRD is from SASA, but also provincial departments, they also have a response to their citizens, even in municipalities. So there's a broad spread of food security programs within provinces as well as from a national perspective. That's on SRD, DG. And our estimated
introduced the program called Migonzo. And within that program of Migonzo, the mandate or the instruction that we got as a department was that from the assistant director right up to the DG, we need to spend time outside with the community. But if you look at the numbers that we are very few as a department. Now, if we are very few as a department, we try to spread the days and the time so that we can be able to reach as much areas as possible. Because the minister said, we cannot be writing policies when we do not know what the people outside there, what their needs are. So we've been doing that. On the issue of the political party, I wouldn't know of that because we go everywhere as a department. So people do come. Other people will come, will be coming from ANC, others will be coming from EFF, others will be coming from DA. People come with their skippers on and all those. We cannot be able to control that part. But we try to avoid that. We try to let them not to be coming nearer to where we do things. But people force their way through and they do all the things. And it happens here in Western Cape too. We do come here in Western Cape. When in Karabo, there was a DA, there were DA members that there. Where in Heidelberg, there were DA members. But we cannot force people and tell people that they cannot be coming in because they say that there's a freedom of movement and freedom of expression. So, but our job as a department, we should do it every week and every day. We think it's not political inclined because we are doing it ourselves. I'm the one that always is there on most of them. There is a crop that is done by SASA with Department of Home Affairs and other Department of Health and all those things. Those are spread right around the country. There is no way that you can be able to stop whoever that wants to come into the meeting at that particular time. But maybe this question would be rightfully be asked to the minister if there is an area where this thing, or the special advisor may be able to answer that, because I or we as a department, we wouldn't be able to answer that part, because maybe it's a full-time question. But on the food puzzle and the issues of the SRD, we go everywhere where we are called.
Okay, can we, he will be the last one, trying to also round up other questions. Can we proceed with other questions?
Okay. I'll request Sisko Ni Mumalu from welfare side to deal with all questions that are pertaining to the welfare ECD and the others.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. Let me start with the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. Yes, because of the magnitude of the problem, it's very difficult to see if there are activities or there are programs that are really targeted to our communities. But let me also indicate that the master plan is a framework that is intersectoral in nature. It involves all government departments that have a stake in the fight against drug abuse. We have a national structure which we call Central Drug Authority, which is composed of various government departments, up to 16 of them. And we also have 9 provincial substance abuse forums. These forums are charged with the responsibility of ensuring that they coordinate the fight against substance abuse in each of the 9 provinces. There's no province that has no provincial forum as I speak. Then the very same provincial forum must also submit plan to the National Central Drug Authority, of which they do every year without fail. And they also submit quarterly reports and also annual reports that we even submit to Parliament. I think what is missing is that we need to strengthen community action and community mobilization so that communities can take charge in terms of the fight against drug abuse, and also the issue of visibility in terms of marketing and promoting the programs that are happening in our local communities. Over and above that, each municipality is supposed to also have the local drug action committee that is comprised of stakeholders within that community or within the wards that are within that municipality, so that they can also assist
in bringing the services down to where the people are and coordinate such services. And I also need to say, Honorable Chair, that I think substance abuse problem cut across race, cut across political affiliation, cut across any culture. So we need, as individuals in South Africa, to really commit ourselves in the fight against drug abuse, because it's killing our nation as we speak. The framework is there. What we need is community action, because the Provincial Substance Abuse Forum, if it's not really active and not really drilling down to communities, there's not much difference we can make. Our children will forever fall in our treatment programs, which is not ideal. We need to strengthen prevention programs. Government or department has come up with various programs that are supposed to be implemented at a provincial level. We have the Kimoja program that is implemented. Provinces are at different levels in terms of implementing, solely because of also financial resources. But some provinces are very creative in terms of ensuring that they reach out to communities and schools in terms of implementing the program. We're seeing more people coming for treatment, and we attribute that to people having knowledge in terms of substance abuse challenges, and also ensuring that there's access for treatment in most provinces as we speak. In terms of ECD, I think the Honorable Chair also acknowledged some of the great strides that we've made as a sector, not only social development, but I also want to indicate that we're working with key departments that are involved in ensuring that we implement ECD as a country properly, more especially the policy that was approved by Cabinet. We have basic education there, we have health, we have local government, where we sit, even public works and communication, where we sit on a quarterly basis is a structure where we really coordinate our efforts in terms of implementing ECD. Yes, we are not where we want to be, but we prioritize it because ECD, we see it as one of the key programs that as a country we can achieve in terms of making sure that we invest in our children. Up to so far, we have registered almost 26,000 ECD facilities. We have managed to subsidize 926,000 over that number, children who are in ECDs, but there's over a million children who are accessing ECDs, including my children who are, as a person who's working, not necessarily subsidized. What we also need to do now, we have a registration drive that we want to start, because there are still lots of ECD centers that are operating in garages and backyards that are not necessarily registered. So we want them to really come forward so that we can assist them to register, because some of them, they are not meeting the minimum standards. We are also saying maybe also our standards are too high for them to meet, but we're prioritizing issue of safety, issue of nutrition, and issue of qualified trainers or educators for our children. We are not going to compromise those three areas even when we try to relook at our norms and standards and relax a bit to make sure that we don't leave other ECDs out. We need to make sure, because we also need to support them financially, because some of them, they cannot really be at the lowest standard where we want them to be. So we've introduced three categories. I think I've spoke to them before: your gold, your bronze, and your silver, so that we have a category in terms of how we assist you. And also the NDA is running Adopt an ECD campaign, where we are trying to ask for volunteers who can support, and companies who can support ECDs that are on the database in terms of upgrading them to be able to meet the bare minimum standards for them to be registered. There was also a question around absorption of social work, or was a comment, but basically in the plan we are planning to award scholarship for a particular number. The number includes the ones that are already in the system, your second year, third year, and your fourth year. But in terms of first year, we are beginning to reduce numbers because we want to use the savings to appoint the ones that are qualifying, but we're still awaiting approval from Treasury in that regard. We're just praying that they will consider positively our proposal that we reduce intake and then so that we can be able to appoint the graduates that we are having every year. I'm not sure if there's another. The issue of Mpangeni. That I won't talk into details because it's still under investigation. But in terms of saying whether it is widespread, it's all over. We minister appointed a committee last financial year to look deep into the foster care system. That is why some of these cases are coming into force. It's because the reports that came out after the committee has really done its work, it was beginning to show us where the problem areas are. So currently, it was in private and in a particular district, but we are continuing to scrutinize and go back and make follow-ups because it's only through a follow-up so that you can pick up some of these fraudulent cases. I wouldn't say they are not there, but I'm also not going to say concerned that they are there when we have not really finalized because we are busy scrutinizing reports per province. KZN was the first one. So the others will follow. If there are areas and there are fraudulent activities, there will be really action will be taken against those social workers or any other person who is involved. Thank you. Review of the white paper. Last year, also there was a committee, that the Taylor Committee, that was headed by Professor Taylor. It did a review in all the nine provinces in terms of the review of the current white paper, which is the 1997 white paper. In this financial year, we are going to rewrite the paper. What is available now is a report in terms of the review process. The review of the paper doesn't necessarily link with the function transfer to SASSA. I think there was a, when the Honourable Member asked the question, linked the two. The white paper is just a policy framework for the social development sector, whether it's welfare, community development, and social security. It includes the three legs, including issues of financing and also the institutional mechanism, the how we manage our partnerships with the NGO sector and so on. So the training, if it goes on, it's basically for everybody in the sector, not necessarily about SASSA specifically. I think that's all.
Thank you so much, Chair, Honourable Chair. Then we will head on to the issues that pertain to the CSG illegal deductions. I must say that on the issue of the illegal deductions, we have been taken to court by private sector that are playing in this space on the funeral benefit, the airtime, and all those things. We may not be in a good space to discuss, to divulge everything that is taking place there because the strategy that we are going to be using on the 10th and the 26th of May. But briefly, Brentin and the CEO of SASSA can just talk around on the things that have been taking place and the things that we have done up to so far. And the issue of communication, I think the CEO will elaborate a little bit on that and what is it that you are doing and mentioning the recourse that is taking place on the illegal deductions.
I'm just looking at the manner in which you are responding. We're going to have other two people responding. We still have the advisor. For me, it suffices to say it's sub judice. It's a court to the government. Other than allowing them to respond, yes, there are court proceedings that are going on. Can we leave it at that? Yeah.
Maybe then, Chair, I can ask Brenton to talk about the 50% veil of CSG and around that budget because there was another question which had nothing to do with illegal deductions.
Thanks, Chairperson, members. Good afternoon. We acknowledge. acknowledge the mismatch on the numbers between the two slides that the member raised. The one comes from the STRAT plan, which was published in 2014, and the other number comes from the APP, which is updated annually. So it eventually does, because the STRAT plan was published almost 2 years ago, I think, the numbers do tend to vary a little bit. But the one in the APP, which is the latter slide, that's the most recent and most up-to-date number. And then on the policy of extending CSG to orphans and vulnerable children, so it's not to all CSG children, it's really just acknowledging that foster care has, there's a lot of administrative issues with getting a foster care grant. You have to go to court, you have to get placed in foster care. So it takes children about, on average, about a year or so before they would be able to get the foster care grant. And so then, and because we have so many orphans in the country, that is creating a much huger workload than we can currently manage. So this is really about just increasing the grant. So most of those children end up on CSG and eventually end up on foster care. And this is basically just then saying we want to give them a little bit more in terms of grants. That policy was approved at Cabinet last year in December, and we've currently developed the legislation for implementation, and I think the legislation will probably go to Cabinet in the next 2 months and then put into Parliament, into the parliamentary cycle. I think there was also a question on military beds. There is a Department of Military Beds, and that particular line is speaking to our relationship with them. So they have the budget, they will implement all the benefits for military beds, but they have also approached us to help them design benefits and also approached us to help deliver the benefits, because they felt there wasn't a need to set up a new agency to pay their pensions, etc., but that they could use the existing Social Security agency for that. I think that was all of the questions on Social Security.
If I look at my questions that I took, not unless I left some, I think we've responded to all. Youth camps mostly was the comment from the chair, it was a positive comment in saying that we need to try and increase on the issues. That's how I took it. It was just a comment. It's not a question, because there's nothing we can do right now on what is taking place, except that you need to go back and relook in our budgeting around the issue. We take that comment positively. And the issue of the CFO was the issue of the yes or no. I think we've answered that one. We have gone past that one. Okay, yes, of irregular expenditure, CFO.
Ma'am, I can confirm that we have strengthened our systems, and we're looking at, from the development of our strat plans, the issues around how to mitigate the risk that we have. Also, we strengthened our internal controls to see that we increased budget in our internal audit section. So all these three, risk management, internal control unit, and the internal audit unit, to work together so that we prevent those type of things, but also that we investigate every case of irregular expenditure in the department and taking action. Thanks.
Honorable Kaula.
Thanks for the responses. I just want to make a follow-up question on this issue of the social relief in distress, that's what you call it. Is it a once-off kind of assistance? Now, if it is a once-off, because if a person is in distress, you cannot be in distress for, say, 2, 3, 4 years, but you only eat in 1 month, and then you expect that the distress has disappeared. So that's why I'm asking Shepherdson if it is a once-off thing. But also to say, you made a very enlightening reference to me to say KwaZulu-Natal has the lowest number of applicants, and the reason I'll tell you is because people are not informed. Now, we would like to assist you to get the information to the people. How does this thing work? Where do people apply? And, you know, if you can just briefly summarize how it works, Jefferson, because it will assist us so that we can also assist people on the underground. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, maybe the CEO must explain again on the issue of the social relief of distress, because it's in, I think, three categories that the social relief. It's not just once-off. Sometimes we do have a once-off when a person has just applied for the grant and the grant has not been received, it's still being processed. Then that one is done. Then we have others that I was talking about, those that the family is under distress. It can happen for 3 months, but it can only be extended for 6 months. While that is happening, we are taking into account the other things that we are doing as a department, trying to pull the people out of that quagmire and like issue of cooperatives and other things that we are trying to push people into. Maybe the CEO can explain again.
You have responded.
Okay.
I think the you have responded to. I don't know what else she's going to say. More than to say, Honorable Kawula, what I have in my comments, closing remarks, is that I'm still going to give you. I just want to indicate that I took note of that, that we need more information. Next time when the department comes and give us a briefing, we need more talking from SAFA and NDA, because that's where most of the budget is going to. So what we do, we usually allow give the department to respond on all those things. Yet, if you look at the budget, the CFO said 0.1% is going to the national department. Most of the budget is going to transfer. Those people who are receiving the bulk of the money must be the ones who's doing a lot. Or we put it the other way around to speak more on what they're doing. Because really, I don't think we are doing justice. We're just listening on what you are doing in details. But what they are doing in the bulk of the money that is going to them, we're not getting it. What Honorable Kaula is raising is very important. We need, if not that, we need a day where you will be briefing us exactly what are you doing with this money, how are we progressing, what are the challenges. What are the achievements on these things? We must not just talk about the fees, money. One of the activities linked to the budget that is given to the entity. Can I give to the advisor, to the minister, to wrap up the responses?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I wouldn't be just wrap up very briefly. I think the first critical issue that I'd like to touch on very briefly is this issue around food parcels. Just to embellish the point that we have made, that there is no deliberate approach by the minister to use the food parcels for any political program. I think what is actually happening right now is that the minister is increasing the footprint in the communities. And as she improves that footprint, she moves into the communities with a basket of services. Some of them are short-term, medium, and long-term interventions. And I think what is happening right now is that part of that process is also coinciding with the heightened political activity in the country, be it the registration for the IEC and whatever that happens. But there is no deliberate, you know, approach of the minister to actually utilize that. The examples that were given by the Honorable MP and where he said that he has got some photos where the political infrastructure of certain political organizations is being used for that. The minister is not aware of that, and certainly I think we'll take note of this. If there are leakages somewhere in the system, whether it's at the level of SASA, where that is happening, we're not sure. We'd just like to say, Honorable Chairperson, that the minister will take it up and deal with it appropriately. And then the second issue that we just wanted to, you know, reinforce is this whole issue around the impact of deductions on the older persons. That the minister is taking that very seriously, and is looking at various programs around it, including the intensified communications strategy around it. But the critical element, Chairperson, that would like to raise, and I think the minister would have loved to highlight, is that this situation is a classic case of what social development is, and she keeps on saying there is no forum to sharpen this issue other than this forum. A significant amount of the budget goes towards transfers, and there is very little to deal with the core issues of anything that actually falls within the ambit of social development, and that's where the minister is sitting right now. And I think that issue needs to be addressed, because when you're addressing, for instance, the impact of the deductions on the older persons, the impact of class, you know, in society, you know, these things require, you know, extensive social psycho, you know, interventions, and a whole range of other issues that impact on the social purpose of society. And currently, the structure of the department budget does not allow the minister to do that. And she keeps on saying, this is the issue that needs to be raised. The same thing applies, Chairperson, to the increases that we have highlighted here. And if you look at the increases that were pronounced by National Treasury that we are, you know, reflecting here, you find that they actually don't take into account the fact that, you know, the increase in the basket of food services has also shot up, including the transportation services. And it hits the poor. So if you look at the overall state of the budget, even in terms of the transfer, you know, right now, there is a gap. You know, with the announcement that has just been made now in terms of the increases on potatoes and other things, it's going to mean something else, you know, around it. And I think the minister would have loved to sharpen this point, you know, to you here and honorable peace. I think she would welcome your political instruction, you know, because that's really what it is, and I think she would kindly take it. That is, she must intensify what she's doing on the youth camps initiative. She's increased already on her brand. You know, I mean, she's sitting now, you know, the 1,000 that has been highlighted here, and she's increasing it, you know, around that. But it also comes back to budget. I must say that I think for her to be in a position to actually reach these kind of numbers, she has helped to actually rely on other players outside the state actually assisting around them. So it talks to the issues around budget, you know. On the anti-substance, you know, abuse, she is looking into a whole range of issues, including the restructuring of the CDA, with the idea of saying how do you capacity the central drug, you know, authority, you know, in order to actually combat, you know, this problem. So those are the issues that I just thought that, you know, one needs to highlight, you know, on your chapter.
No, thank you very much. I've already covered one point that I wanted to raise earlier in terms of the transfer, how we need to approach it in the future as a committee. Connie, when we talk about drugs, today's meeting is not about saying why did you not do that, why this. We are making inputs in your plan. We are saying, no, we're looking at you from outside and saying, looking at the pace in which the drug and substance abuse is taking in the country, we are losing it. That's what you are saying. I take what the advisor is saying, that maybe as a committee, let's engage other committees and see how best we assist the department. It doesn't help to talk. We can push you to come up with a program, but you still need money to do that. That's what we are saying. We're not saying you're not doing anything, but we're saying whatever you're doing is not equal to the problem that we're having there and the pace in which it is increasing.
So that is why we're raising, not blaming today. Today we're not talking about why you did not do this, because you're not reporting, you're presenting a plan for us to input on the plan. We're taking what the advisor is saying to say we are the rightful structure to see how best we assist you in terms of doing this. In the eyes of National Treasury, is giving the department a lot of money, but they don't look where the money is going. Because, you know, if you look at other departments, in fact, yes, you are getting a lot of money. But where does it go? And we are saying we are not doing enough in terms of drugs, but we are saying we don't have enough money to do that. We see that because you are presenting to us this plan. I think it's one thing that we will take up. CEO SASA. I still have that application of my uniforms in the conscience office. I have the envelope, I'll give it to you. I'm raising it here in the meeting that it does happen. You apply, you send application. I'm taking an advantage because they are here, but to send it to their offices. same thing is with, I don't want to go back to the with social relief. From my experience, previous life, people apply anytime if there is a need for a social relief. Some, they will have a death happening over the weekend, they will look for food parcels, blankets, and whatever. You've got to provide. It's happening in all provinces. I've seen it happening in the Western Cape. I've seen trucks giving out social relief. So, the only problem, that's why I was saying, respond on the political part. Where it becomes a problem, when it is used for political parties, there is a problem. But to assist people on which day, things happen any day. Just in the Lily Mine, the department was very much involved there, supporting there. So we do encourage that, but what we are saying, it should not be used for political gains. We have to say that as a committee, it should not be used for political gains. Honourable members, thank you very much for your time, and thanks to the department and the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
I'm not going to be able to do that.